ask for your prayers as we engage those who are faithfully sharing the gospel with their neighbors under sometimes unimaginable circumstances. That's, I think, why we were drawn to study this book of Habakkuk, because Habakkuk starts off this book with just reminding God, you know, what's going on in his country, just how the country had devolved into strife and violence and a disregard for his law. And I think we can relate to that as Americans, even as we look at where our nation is. So have you ever noticed, though, in your prayer life, as you pour out requests to God, either for your country, for yourself, for your neighbors, how often God does not answer what you need or you perceive to need, but instead he answers about what he knows you need to experience in your life? You've probably seen this before. I came across this quote. It's anonymous. It's attributed to a Confederate soldier. I think the poem was found on his body, and you've probably seen it many places. I just want you to listen to these words. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I asked for, but all I had hoped for. My prayer was answered. I am most richly blessed. Isn't that great? Hey, our series is called What to Do When Our World is Spinning, when the world around us seems to be spinning out of control, whether that's our personal world within ourselves, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our school, whether it's in our job, whether it's in our country, whether it's in this world itself. When the world is seemingly spinning out of control, what do we do? And Habakkuk's answer to that question is, I pray. I pray to God. And as we've been studying last week, God's answer to the second prayer that Habakkuk poured out, an answer recorded in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, we found that the secret, the key to the whole book, the key to the whole message of Scripture is this: the righteous will live by his faith. Not only as Christians are we declared right before God through our faith in Jesus Christ, what we're going to celebrate, and we are going to celebrate it, Megan, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. We are made right with God. Because of his resurrection, we are given new life in him. It is what we celebrate as Christians. But not only is faith the key to that act of surrender to in faith to what Christ has done for us, faith is also the key to living a life of victory, no matter what our circumstances. So this morning, we're going to conclude our 5-week study of the book of Habakkuk by seeing how Habakkuk closes out this journey of faith that God has taken him as he has approached God in prayer. The bulk of Habakkuk's third prayer is praise. He praises God that God is in control. He praises God that God has a plan. And he praises God that God is just. This morning, we'll see that our own faith can be increased just as Habakkuk's was when we shift our attention from merely expressing our frustrations to God about the situation and the circumstances of our life, and as we get our attention wholly on the person and work of God. Habakkuk's third and final prayer in chapter 3 of Habakkuk begins with a faithful petition, making two requests of God. He then follows this petition with a faithful praise, and he concludes his prayer by expressing the faithful peace he is experiencing because God is in control of the circumstances of his life. Verse 2, let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. If you got your Bibles, look there. It'll be on the screen as well, but I love to see people with their nose in God's Word. I want you to see it for yourself. If you've got it on your device, if you've got it in your hands, look at verse 2. This is what it says. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk has learned through his previous prayers that God is absolutely in control. He learned, it was recorded in chapter 2, verse 20, that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God is in control. He is aware. He is seated in heaven, and he sees everything going on in your life, in your family's life, in the world around you. He sees it all. He's on the throne. He is still in control. And then God revealed to Habakkuk that he has a purpose and plan for this world. He says in chapter 2, verse 14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God has a plan to make his glory known to everyone in the world. And he compares it to the waters that cover this planet. And then God revealed to Habakkuk that the plan that he has in mind will be just, even though he's going to use the Babylonians as a tool to discipline his own people. There will be justice. He will repay them for what they do. In chapter 2, verse 16, God says, the cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, Babylon, and disgrace will cover your glory. At the end of his second prayer, Habakkuk declares to God in this verse 2 of chapter 3, he responds that he will be attentive and listen to what God has to say. Lord, I have heard of your fame, he says. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, I know who you are, and I know what you're doing, and I believe this is true. In the presence of God, Habakkuk has a holy, reverent fear of God's person and activity. Like Job before him, he places his hand over his mouth, and he falls to the ground in silence before God. He is overwhelmed in reverential awe of the greatness of the Lord. See, the basis of Habakkuk's final petition to God is his faithful response to God's previous revelation to him. Lord, I hear you and I'll obey your will. I worship you and I stand in awe of your glory. I love you and I make my appeal to you on the basis of your love for me. When you and I pray, our attitude in prayer should be like Habakkuk's. When we pray for a world that is spinning out of control, our attitude should be like Habakkuk's, who says, I stand in awe of you, God. I know you're in control. I know you've got a plan. I know your plan is just. And that attitude then leads Habakkuk into two more requests of God. The first is that God would accomplish his divine will and accomplish his purposes in Habakkuk's day. Verse 2 again, I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. God had promised not only to discipline the nation of Israel because of its sin, because of its rebellion. He had promised not only to send Babylon in as the tool of his discipline, but that he would also judge this evil nation for the way they carried out his discipline of his nation. It's appropriate for us to pray that testing and suffering in our life would pass quickly, as Habakkuk is doing. Scripture tells us that God has a day of judgment for all of the evil in this world. That day will be when Jesus comes back to reign. And it is appropriate for us to pray, in our day, Lord, make it happen now. In fact, Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, this is appropriate for us to pray. Habakkuk longed for the consummation of God's purposes to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. He longed for the world to acknowledge who God was and that he was in his heaven reigning over everything. He prayed that this purpose would be fully realized in his own day. His second request was that he and his people would experience God's mercy and grace in the midst of God's discipline and the difficult circumstances that God will bring upon his nation. He says in verse 2, I stand in awe of your deeds, renew them in our day, in our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk knew that God's plan for disciplining his nation was needed. He was needed in his life. It was needed in the life of his people. He knew this. He accepted this. He no longer shrank away from that discipline as he had earlier, but he asked that God's correction of the problem would be mixed with his mercy upon his people. Now, discipline is a tricky thing. Those of you who are parents know that we struggle at times with how to balance attention to the problem and mercy toward the offender. We struggle with this. We tend to go to one extreme or the other. Either we are too tolerant or we're too strict. We either tend to ignore a problem or we overreact and come down too heavily. And my children, they're not here today, so I can say this. They won't listen to this, so they won't know. My children can attest that as a parent, I didn't always get that balance. Okay, I was raised by parents who spanked, and I'm at that generation where I spanked my kids as well. Now, Kathy and I tried to have balance in that discipline. We tried to never spank our children while we were angry, to have a cooling off period where we could reflect. Even after spanking, we would cuddle our children and tell them how much we love them. But honestly, we didn't always get it right. And I think our children turned out okay. I don't have any long-lasting scars from that discipline. But God is not like me. He has a perfect balance of wrath at sin and mercy toward the sinner. And he keeps these two things in absolute balance. Yes, he was going to send the Babylonian army into his nation, and that army would invade and conquer and capture and deport his people. For 70 years, they would live as exiles out of the promised land. And yet, those who went to the promised land, he protected, even against an evil plot to annihilate all of them. He protected his people and he brought them back to the promised land just as he had promised. God never abuses his children with too much physical, emotional, or psychological discipline. He never abandons his children through neglect of correcting their errors. He has the perfect blend of wrath and mercy. Habakkuk was not praying so much that God would remember this, but that he would recognize God's actions and this perfect balance. He was already beginning to see this balance as he began to understand the depth of sin among his people and the need for them to be disciplined. But he also desired there to be mercy and forgiveness by God. And he knew in God's answer to him that God loved his people and had a plan for them and was in absolute control. Again, I think I often, even today, not having to discipline my children any longer, but I also fail to keep this balance between positives and negatives. I've got an undergrad and grad degree in political science, so I am a news junkie. I could spend hours and hours and hours reading and watching cable news networks. And unfortunately, as you know, news tends to emphasize the negative. And as I saturate my mind with negative news, what do you think happens to my heart? Becomes very negative. Habakkuk saturated in contrast to this. He was not unaware of the evil going on in his land, but what he saturated his mind through prayer and the study of God's word was with the truth of who God is and what God is doing. He believed God's promise to deliver wrath toward those who rejected him, but extend mercy toward those who surrender to him in faith. Chapter 3 begins with Habakkuk's petition to God. It's a petition that is rooted in his faith. It's rooted in a faith that had been growing as Habakkuk engaged God in prayer. Verses 3 to 15 then turn to the second part of his prayer, which is really a prayer of praise. Now, I'm not going to go into this one in detail because it's a lot of verses and it would take, you know, a couple of hours. And you guys have been gracious to me. I've been going overtime every week. Darren will get us back on schedule when he gets back here, but we do want to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. So I'm not going to go over everything here, but I want you to read these words with me or listen to me as I read these words. But here's what I want you to catch. Notice the shift of person from third person talking about God to second person talking directly to God, and then first person talking about how knowing God is changing Habakkuk's life. So let's look at these words together. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, his praise filled the earth, his splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden, plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps, he stood and shook the earth, he looked and made the nations tremble, the ancient mountains crumbled, the age-old hills collapsed, his ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Now notice the shift. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot, Selah. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning its great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. You see how in praise Habakkuk moved from talking about the person of God, that he's the creator, that he's glorious, that he is his power has no match, his splendor's like the sunrise. He talks about God's activity and creation and his judgment upon Egypt and in the past and as his future judgment upon his people and upon their persecutors, the Babylonians. The bulk of Habakkuk's third prayer is praise. not petition, not request, not even thanksgiving for the peace that he experienced. We'll look at that in a moment. But simply praise. Do you find it hard to praise God? I find that in corporate prayer, we're so quick to move from praise to our petitions, to tell God what our needs are, even to thank him for what he's doing, but we move too quickly from praise. How do we get to the place in our prayer life where praise dominates our prayers as it did for Habakkuk? Here's Habakkuk's secret to praising God. He spent time reflecting upon what he knew about the person of God and reflecting upon what God had done in the past. And we can do the same thing. As we read about God in the Bible, we can use what we learn about God's person and his activity to praise him. Because if we do, God will change our perspective. If we start with praise, God will move our focus off of ourselves and our circumstances onto his person, which is where our focus needs to be. Look at verse 16 again. I love these words. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. Earlier, when Habakkuk had petitioned God about his circumstances, he was afraid of those circumstances. And when God said, I'm going to send the Babylonians in, he was more afraid of the Babylonians. But not now. As he is now focused upon the person of God, his fear is transformed from his circumstances onto the true object of our fear, God Almighty. Habakkuk is truly overwhelmed from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. His heart is pounding, his lips are quivering, his bones feel like jelly, his legs are trembling. As Habakkuk meditates on the person and work of God, he was physically and emotionally undone. You know, we tend to fear so many things in life. Our finances, the crime rate, an impending storm, the future, the past, the loss of relationships, our parents, an employer, a teacher. But all of these things are temporary. They're not eternal. The only one that we should fear is the one that we will have a relationship with for all of eternity. Matthew said, or Jesus says, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God is the only true object of our fear. The Proverbs tells us repeatedly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As Habakkuk's prayer shifted to praise, God changed the focus of his fears. No longer afraid of his circumstances, Habakkuk's fear was correctly placed in reverential awe of God. And ours can be too. Praise is God's prescription to overcome our fear. Focusing on him will put our circumstances into proper perspective. Habakkuk begins his prayer with a petition that God will fulfill his purposes and show mercy to his people. He then begins to praise God, and as he prays, he was transformed by his praise. And finally, Habakkuk thanks God for the peace that he experiences while praying and living in faith. Habakkuk told God that he would wait patiently for God's timing. Second half of verse 16, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Now, earlier he had asked, and as he began his prayer, he had asked God that the day of judgment would come upon Babylon, would come in his lifetime, in his time. And as we've seen, that's an appropriate request to pray about God's timing, that he would provide both mercy and wrath in our lifetime. We would experience that. It's an appropriate request. But after focusing on the person and work of God through praise, Habakkuk's perspective has changed. He's no longer saying, make it happen now. He's saying, I'm going to wait for it. I will wait patiently on you, God, for your timing. Do we have such confident assurance in the promises of God? The essence of faith is this: to trust God when we don't see the results. That's really what faith is. But lack of seeing the results does not mean that those results will not one day come. Faith enables us to look beyond our present circumstances to God's promises. And that's what Habakkuk says he's willing to do in verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, every one of these things in Habakkuk's day and in ours day today were perceived as indications of God's blessing, of God's love for his people. The people of Habakkuk's day, as we do today, linked material wealth and comfort with the blessings of God. Financial success, accumulation of possessions, a big house, a new car, an advanced academic degree, healthy kids. These were all indicators, or perceived to be indicators of God's blessing. Yet Habakkuk declares that his peace does not come from these things. He proclaims that no longer will his dissatisfaction and confusion come from a lack of these things either. He had engaged God in prayer, and now he understood God's plan and purpose for this world. And so his contentment and peace came from that knowledge, not his circumstances. It's what the Apostle Paul writes to us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. I know what it is, Paul says, to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this, how? Through him who gives me strength. Is that the source of your peace? Does your peace come from your possessions or your job or your family or your health or your church? If so, all of those things will let you down. But if your peace comes from God, if your peace is in him, then no matter what your circumstances, you can continue to have peace. Habakkuk waited patiently even as his circumstances progressively got worse, because God promised that they were actually going to become worse. But notice that Habakkuk doesn't simply endure the change in his circumstance. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Habakkuk's not simply enduring bad circumstances. What he's saying is that he has joy in the midst of those circumstances, not in the circumstances, but through the circumstances, because his faith is in God. It's in the Lord that his peace comes. Now he refers to God as my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. As Habakkuk has transitioned from petition to praise, he's now adoring God and celebrating the intimacy that he has with God. And that adoring intimacy is really what peace is all about. Peace is reconciliation on a horizontal level, to be sure. Peace means animosity is gone. That's true. Peace means confusion is removed. That's true. That's true on a horizontal level, but it's more true, truer, on a vertical level. If vertically our peace is there, then the horizontal follows. Habakkuk is basking in peace, and that causes him to rejoice in his God and take joy in his Savior. You'll remember God's challenge to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 14, was to live by his faith. God doesn't just want his children to experience an overwhelming peace when we are gathered on a Sunday morning singing songs of praise to him. I hope that's your experience when you come here and we sing these great songs of praise to God. I hope it's your experience as followers of Christ that your soul wells up in peace and praise. But Habakkuk was challenged by God to live every day by faith. It's on Monday where our faith is tested. It's on Tuesday where our faith is tested. And that same joy we experience when we're together as God's family is to continue through the week until we gather again. That's why Habakkuk ends his prayer with, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights, filled with God's powerful strength." Habakkuk declares that he rises above his despicable circumstances. He ascends to the height of joy and victory, frolicking like a deer on a hillside, even in the midst of God's impending discipline and wrath upon his country. Before our very eyes in these three chapters, Habakkuk has been transformed from someone who was fearful about the situation in his country, fearful about God's method to deal with that situation, to someone who says, "I am frolicking like a deer on a hillside, despite my circumstances." The situation that Habakkuk prayed to God about in the first place was not going to change. It was going to get worse. The circumstances you're facing in your life may not get better before Jesus returns. They may get worse. But that's not where your joy or your peace comes from. Your joy and peace as a follower of Jesus Christ comes from that relationship. And as you root yourself in that relationship, and move your focus from your circumstances to the person and work of God, he will give you his peace. Let's pray. Father, we desire peace. We are a people that long for peace. And Father, we're not wanting to ignore the circumstances we're in. Many, many here this morning are facing circumstances that are way beyond their control. Way beyond any of our control. But they're not outside of your awareness, not outside of your control, not outside of your plan. Your desire is to bring us to deeper and deeper levels of intimacy with you, and you will even use your discipline to move us to that level. In wrath, you do remember mercy because of what your Son did for us on the cross. And Father, as we move into a time now of celebrating that activity of mercy and grace to us, we pray that you would remind us that our only lasting peace comes because of knowing you. So guide us through this time in Jesus' name. Amen.